Dead Time, Season 3, Episode 5, Dreams, with expert dream interpreter Pamela Cummins. According to Sigmund Freud, the content of a dream is the hidden psychological meaning of the dream. This content tends to appear in the disguise symbolically and contains things that are hidden from our conscious awareness, often because it may be upsetting or traumatic or bring forth messages. Different cultures throughout history have noted the importance of our dreams. We all dream. And yes, sometimes we don't remember all of our dreams, but we all have dreams that we question the meaning of. Welcome, Pamela Cummins, expert dream interpreter. Hello, Pamela.
Hi, Catherine. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm very excited about this.
Thank you so much for joining us. So please tell us how you found yourself interpreting dreams.
Okay, well, first of all, I have remembered my dreams my whole life, which I'm so grateful for. I mean, I can even remember my dreams when I was like 5 years old. You know, certain dreams stand out. But honestly, I didn't put much merit into them. And I thought they were silly and kind of nonsense. And I used to make fun of them until the early 90s. And that's when my stuff started coming up and I started having PTSD dreams. And I'm not going to go into all that, but I found a therapist who luckily specialized in dream interpretation. And every week I would go in there and we would go over my dreams. Mm-hmm. And she helped me. I learned early that dream interpretation, you know, dictionaries, this is way before apps, okay, didn't work. They just didn't go for my dreams, but she taught me how. And because I found this so fascinating, interpreting my own dreams, I started interpreting friends and also family members. And before long, it just became, and I put it in my practice. So that's a long story short.
Okay.
Oh, and I want to add that the working with my dreams, because I think this is important, helped heal my childhood issues. Okay, but it also brought out my psychic abilities because I had repressed them because it wasn't safe, you know, because I'm very clairsentient. I feel a lot. So it wasn't safe. And my psychic abilities came out. So there's a lot of bonuses that the listeners, you, everybody will not be aware of until they start interpreting their dreams.
Yes, I very much agree with this. And then I'm going to ask you, in your expertise, what is the difference between a premonition and a dream? And can they be one in the same?
And I'm going to say, yes, they can. Okay. I call premonition dreams precognitive dreams. And I like to say they're a heads up of what's coming in the future. Okay. They can be good things. They can be warning you know, hey, stay away from this person, whatever. And a lot of times they might not make sense because they're very symbolic, because the dream language is not our waking language. Okay. Occasionally they're like spot on. The person it's like the deja vu kind of unfolds. But there's other types of dreams. I'm very much into dream categories. So there's solution dreams, there's health dreams, there's relationship dreams, there's dreams from the deceased. But that doesn't mean that dreams, different categories can't intertwine with each other. Like you could have a premonition dream that gives you a solution, okay? Or premonition that's warning you of your health, or premonition that's letting you know, hey, your soulmate's coming into your life, or hey, you know, watch out for this woman who's going to try and steal your husband. So, you know, so there's not just one set formula. And I think that's really important for people to know. There's not just one set formula. And I want to add, since we're talking about precognitive dreams of the future, is that sometimes you might not know it's a precognitive dream, especially if you're just getting into dream interpretation, until the actual event happens. But the cool thing is, once you get used to what precognitive dreams feel like, okay, there's a feeling, there's a knowing. You know, just kind of like intuition, there's a knowing. So once you get used to it, when one comes up, they'll be like, hey, this feels like what the precognitive dream I had in the past, and I better pay special attention to this.
Yes, I very much agree. For myself, I have a lot of premonitions and precognitive dreams. But for myself, I have found that I dream whatever I dream last means first. Like the end of the story is always the beginning. It's really fascinating in a sense. But I personally have gotten used to, like, I know I'm like, okay, so this is going to happen first, then this, and this could be a sign of this. And I've always found that useful in my daily life.
That's, I want to add, Catherine, that's really cool. And what I love about that is it's showing the audience, it's, you know, while they're hearing it, of how everyone's dream is unique. Because some people might, maybe it's the middle that starts first. Maybe it's the beginning. Okay, so there's, you know, every dream is unique. Every dreamer is unique. And you have to find out what is right for you.
Correct. And even as you were speaking about your journey to dream interpretation about certain dream books, I must state that within my lineage, certain things have always meant something. And that's what I grew up and still to this day validate as the meanings, like special symbols for myself. So there are certain dream books that I have looked through. I'm just saying for many years, I'll see a dream book, I'll look through it. And if those meanings that are specific to me are not in the dream book, I right away dismiss the dream book. Mm. I know it sounds silly, but no, I'm like, no, that doesn't, this has to be wrong. No, nope.
What happened to me is it's an older book because, you know, I'm older than some of your listeners. But what helped me was Denise Lin's The Secret Language of Signs. And she went into different symbols there. And that really helped me. In fact, that helped me so much. I asked if I could quote her. You know, I sent her an email and asked if I could quote her. But what when you were talking, what came to mind is like when I, because I do readings too. And one of my readings is really weird, where I'll see a man with a shovel. Now, many people would take that as somebody who's like going to dig a grave or a construction worker. And what that means to me is he really digs you. Okay. So.
Oh, awesome. Yes. No, I can only see that. Yes.
Yeah. You know, because they're like a man with a shovel. Oh my God, is somebody going to get me? You
know? Yeah, is he a killer? Oh my goodness. Well, I guess that goes to show that everybody's symbols can be different.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
And then what are the most common dreams that you feel people have, that people have come to you with, or that you've heard of people having?
Okay, well, certain symbols like snakes are very common. Dreams of the deceased, I get a lot of questions about that. In fact, three of my blogs are like on the deceased. I get hundreds of hits every day. Okay, so that's something people dream about, their deceased loved ones, falling, being chased, bears. I think I've only dreamed of a bear once, but a lot of people have dreams of bears, animals, cats, dogs, you know, teeth falling out, certain things like that, you know. But I want to say that even though they're common symbols or yeah. themes, okay, they can have many different meanings, okay? And it depends upon what you're feeling in a dream. Okay, dreams, you know, that can be different. Where they grew up, the society, okay, because every country is different, all right? Their personal history, okay, what they've gone through, their experiences, and their situations going on now. And I have an example that I'd like to give you if that's, because I love using examples, okay? And let's say you dream of a man, you know, a man's like a woman's dreaming of a man proposing to yes. them or one of their loved ones. Okay. Now, most people are going to say, that's great. Okay. And it would be great for a woman. She's probably going to be excited. You know, she dreams that her boyfriend is finally proposing to her, but this could be a dream about her desire to get married, or it could be, as we talked about, a premonition / precognitive dream. Okay. But for someone who's going through a divorce, all right, this could bring up grief, sadness, you know, it could even go into the dream category of nightmares. And if it was a very abusive marriage, it could actually be cause PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder dreams. Okay. So that's one sign, all right, that, you know, one little symbol And one little dream, you know, that can have so many different meanings. And I'm not even touching upon them. That's why I like people, we're the same, but we're different when it comes to our dreams. Because it's unique to each dream. I hope that makes sense to you.
That makes total sense to me. In my beliefs, like my lineage, we believe that, and that if you dream of a tooth falling out and it was bleeding, that a loved one will pass. Okay. And then we go further and we analyze, like, this is amongst my mother, and then it was amongst her family. Then we analyze which tooth it was, because if it would be, let's say, the stronger teeth, right? Like, that would be, you know, like a parent. Right. So then we try to analyze, you know, who it is. And with these dreams, like with my mom, we've always, I'm going to just tell you, we've always found it to be true. So the one time I personally, I dreamt all my teeth fell out and it was painful. And I knew, amongst other signs, that my father would pass. And I'm telling you, almost a year after that, there's other dreams that we believe come with that. So this is just one of many. He did pass.
Okay. And
that was the only time that I ever dreamt of my teeth falling out.
Right. And I don't want the audience to think freak that out if they have that kind of dream. Okay. It doesn't necessarily mean someone in your family is going to die. It could mean that you're afraid of losing something. It could also mean that you better get your butt to the dentist. Okay. Yes. But it could also mean something totally different to someone who's in dental school, dentist, owns a dentist practice. Okay. So you need to think. That's why when people go, oh, I looked at my dream, my symbol on a dream app, I want to go, because it's so much more complicated than that. There's so much involved in a dream. There's different layers. You need to go deeper. What does it mean to you?
Yes. And that's what I was going to state. That's just what it means to me, my mom, and her side of the family. That's what it's always meant. But it's always it's a culmination. It's almost like a series. this would come, and then another dream, let's say, and I'm just going to use my experience as that, then I dreamt of my father happier than I've ever seen him. Then I dreamt of him with my dog that had passed. Do you understand? So it was a combination that then we amongst my family say, okay, this is what this means.
Right. Exactly. So
it's not just the one aspect. And yes, you're right. This does not mean that for every dream you have of your
team. I don't want people to freak out.
Okay. Yeah, they shouldn't freak out. I'm just using that as an example for myself.
Right.
And then when we talk about repetitive dreams, so the dreams of, especially the nightmare ones, and I feel the common ones of, like, I dream I'm being chased constantly, or I dream somebody's breaking through my door, or just anything repetitive, what would that mean, or the possibility of that meaning?
Okay. And I like to say, like, the universe, God, goddess, higher source, whatever you want to call it, usually gives you like light taps when they're trying to get you to look at something, right? And human denial comes in. So they might give you a little tap with, I don't know, like maybe one, I can't think of it, one of those like a little something soft, like, I don't know, a feather. And then finally they go a little hard, like maybe with a piece of cardboard. And finally it's like lead pipe. Come on, get it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
But hey, I've been hit by a lead pipe. I'm human too. But
for
my guides and angels. Yeah. But to me, what recurring dreams basically are, trying to get your attention that you need to work on an issue. Okay. That's what you need to do. So if someone's chasing you, okay. It could mean like somebody, maybe it could be as simple as someone is hounding you to do something you don't want to do. Cause we all have those people who, you know, I'm just using this, babysit for me every Saturday night. Well, you know, we want to have a Saturday night for ourselves. Okay. And they're hounding you. And we don't always dream of the person It could be a stranger or whatever, because sometimes it's too difficult, like a loved one, we might dream of somebody different. So to protect ourselves, okay, mm-hmm. if I'm yes. making sense. Okay, it's fear of an issue catching up to you. There could be a dangerous person in your life or a situation, or it could be something that already occurred. You know, like if somebody was trying to mug you and you were running away from it, and, you know, and maybe they caught up to you or you got away, that could be something that you need to heal. So basically it's something that you need to heal. Okay. So when you keep on having those dreams, it's figuring out, why am I having these dreams? And I want to tell you, sometimes it takes us a while to figure it out. Okay. And that's okay, whether it's a day or a couple of years. All right. And I'll use my own example in a minute. Okay. But so we figure it out, right? We have to accept what the issue is. We have to, figure out how to work through it. And then the dream will go away. Okay. So it's not an overnight process. And I just want to describe, I used to have this dream, and it was actually recurring dream. And it was pleasant to the end, where I was in this room, okay, and there were all kinds of drawers in the wall, in the cabinets, and I'd open purses, and I'd open it up, and I'd find all this treasure. I mean, gold and jewelry and money, and I'd be shoving it down my bra, my pockets, and my purse, everything, right? And I was like thrilled. And then I'd wake up, and there was that feeling of disappointment, because it was things I wanted. And I had this dream for many years, okay? And when I started getting into dream interpretation, it actually took like a year or so when I was learning about recurring dreams. And I was like, you know what? That dream I had went away. And the reason it was is because I was working on myself. And really that treasure and all that drawers and stuff was finding the treasure within me, okay? Okay. Yeah. And when I started working on dreams myself, it went away. So basically, I kind of solved that recurring dream without actually working on it consciously. It was more subconsciously.
Amazing. Yeah. Yes. For myself, I'm going to state as of late, I've had actually a recurring, well, only twice, but for me, that's recurring. And I don't normally have nightmares. So I'm going to touch on nightmares in a moment and ask you about that. But I've had a recurring dream of, I go to lock my door, like literally my door in my home. Okay. And it's not my home in the dream, but regardless of that part, I go to lock the door and I notice, oh, the door isn't locked. And then there's this person, the one dream, it's always a different person. So this could be a different facet of me or whatever. The first one was this person's trying to get into my door, and I actually get so upset, like in real life, that my husband has to like stop, wake up. And then the next one, same type thing, except the thing was I don't know what it was, but then it was trying to pull me through the door, and I woke up. So what do you feel something like that could mean?
Okay. Well, obviously in both dreams you were scared, correct?
Terrified.
Now, the door, all right, because this is important. Do you know where the door was from? It's not from your home now. Do you remember where the door was from?
Well, the one door was actually the last dream, the door was from my home. The dream before that, the door was a white door. And actually, that's interesting that you said that. The door was a white door, okay, that I don't know where it was, but in my dream, it was the home. And then in the last dream, the door was a dark brown door, which I have now, but this may not have been in my home. I just associate that with my home. So two different color doors.
Okay. All right. Because I'm wondering if it was a childhood or whatever. All right. So, and this is off the top of my head. Okay. But the person trying to get in your door is basically is there someone in your life who's trying to go past your boundaries, who's not respecting you, okay? Think that's one way to look at it, okay? There might be a person in your life that you're not feeling safe with and that you need to put the door, okay? The other dream The first thing that came to me, okay, and again, I'm just, this is off the top of my head. I'm not really, you know, I could like sit down and like write like a page or two, okay?
And but, that is what you would normally do for somebody when you're interpreting their dream.
Exactly. Okay, exactly. So, but the other dream more sounds like someone is trying to get you to open a new door for yourself.
See, by that pushing resonates. You through
the door. Yeah.
That
so
resonates.
There's something new that's coming to you. So when you put them together, it's like you need to shut the door on something in your life, but you need to open the door for something else in your life. So in basically let go of the old and embrace the new.
And
does that make sense?
Scary. No, that felt, and as an intuitive, that felt real. That one felt okay, that matches.
Do you see how, like, you know, the little dreams can have so many different meanings? And that's just off the top of my head. Okay. That's not really sitting down and analyzing it.
Yes. And that, I hope the audience sees that as well, that right. The dream sequences, et cetera, can mean so many things and can be individual to the individual.
Right. And also a series of dreams can be expanding upon different things. Okay. You know, they're almost like scenes out of a movie. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
I call them dream scenes.
Yes. And with nightmares. So nobody likes nightmares. And I've been fortunate throughout my life that I have very, very seldom had nightmares. But there are people that do have like horrible nightmares, and even like from childhood on. Mm-hmm. So what is really a nightmare, and how can somebody help with that?
Okay. And I have a quote that, and I might not be saying it word for my book, that pisses people off. I've actually had some not nice comments, but nightmares are a gift because they force you to look at an issue that you have been, you know, denying, that you're not dealing with. Okay. And usually that's what it is. It's your fear. It's stuff that you're not looking at through the day, or you know it's there and you don't want to deal with it, that you need to deal with. Okay. I hope that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Or it could be like a certain fear. Like, you know, this is common. If you're afraid of being cheated on, or you've been cheated on in the past, you might have a fear that your mate is cheating on you. Okay. So it's for you to look, and that's, you know, it's when you're in a long-term relationship and you're giving someone your heart and you love them. Okay. Whether it's marriage or, you know, living together or whatever, that's a nightmare. That causes a lot of anxiety. It's, you know, brings up abandonment and everything else. And basically that is saying, I need to look at my relationship, how I'm interacting with this person. Is this my stuff? Is this their stuff? Could they be, you know, cheating on a different way? Maybe not being honest about something. Is it my desire to cheat on that? Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. So nightmares can be very technical, and I've, you know, I've had nightmares. I wish I only had two nightmares in my life. Okay. But really it's something that you need to deal with. Okay. Mm-hmm. You really need to deal with it, whatever it is.
Interesting. And then a lot of times, can this be PTSD for some people? Can this in fact be that?
Okay. And the way you can tell the difference is that PTSD dreams do come symbolically. Okay. But a lot of times it's memories of what happened. Okay.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a feeling that it ties in with the past. I mean, like for someone who's, excuse me, a vet, you know, they might dream of war. Okay. So that's a no-brainer. All right. But somebody who is like, as a child, okay, who might have witnessed a violent crime or who was abused in some sort, that might come as little pieces, okay? But there's kind of a feeling like this happened. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I don't want to look at this, but this happened, okay? Where a nightmare can be more crazy.
Yes.
You know, I don't know how else to explain it.
maybe more movie-like.
A nightmare? Yeah. Yeah. Where the actual memory isn't so much of a movie.
Right.
Yeah. I hope I'm making sense.
It makes sense to me. So for those that maybe not understanding, a nightmare would be like a scene from a movie. And maybe the characters don't necessarily have to relate to you. Whereas the PTSD can be fragments of the past, meaning past traumas that maybe you're working through, or maybe you've shut out from your conscious awareness, that feel too real to just be a dream.
And sometimes, like as I said earlier, it might not be the exact person who did it. You might not see their face, but it might be somebody who you recognize who has a characteristic of that person. Okay. You know, I had a teacher who once said that psyche is very kind. It will protect you from what you're not ready to deal with. Okay. And that's kind of what PTSD dreams are about, you know, where, you know, if it's a nightmare, you might have a dream about a witch trying to get you, you know, or, you know, somebody from a movie or something like that, you know, like Rambo, that's kind of dating myself, but you know what I mean? You know, somebody's trying to get you, chase you. It could be the Walking Dead, or somebody's trying to get you, you know. Now, obviously, I hope you didn't have a PTSD of the Walking Dead trying to get you, you know. Yeah. That would be pretty scary.
That would be pretty scary, for real. Very scary. And then, as you started talking about, there's a lot of people that ask you about dreaming with past loved ones. As a medium, I do have a lot of people that ask me about that as well. I always feel that it's just, and I don't go into as much depth as you would as a dream interpreter, but to me, it's always communication from the other side. So a big question that I get is, why do they not talk to me in my dream? Why are they just there? And why I dreamt with, and I'm going to use, you know, I dreamt with my grandma and she's yelling at me, or she's talking too much to me where she didn't do that in real life. What does this mean?
Okay. All right. Well, sometimes, okay. And it's funny because I heard a song lyric more than words. Okay. So sometimes in a visitation, like before my mom died, she came and she visited me and there were no words. There was this overwhelming feeling of love, and I've never felt it before. And it, to me, it was like a love that you would feel in heaven. Okay. I've never felt it on the earth. All right. So sometimes it's just a connection and you don't need words. All right. A visitation, sometimes there's a few words. Okay. As far as the part where the grandma is yelling at her and stuff like that, and talking too much, that doesn't feel like a visitation dream so much. I mean, I can't say for sure because I'm not the person, I wasn't there. That feels more like, that feels more like, I call it like issue with deceased. Okay. Usually when you're having a dream, an actual visitation, it's short, it's very loving. It feels like you're visiting with them. You could actually go to the mall or whatever. It could be something if you went skiing or whatever, but do you know what I mean? It's usually something that you either did, or it feels like a visit. It feels like a good time. Okay. And sometimes you don't need words, but when there's an issue, they're yelling at you, you're fighting with them, then that is not a visitation. That's more of an issue that you need to resolve. Okay. And it's possible that you could have a visitation in an issue dream. Okay. And quite honestly, for many years, I thought, no, it was one or the other, until I had one where it was both. Okay. And I know some of my clients have them. And sometimes a visitation dream might when they're gone, click off like an issue that you haven't resolved, or sometimes you have an issue with them and they, you know, they're like, uh-oh, you know, there's Sylvia. Let's go and make her feel better. And here I am, Sylvia. Do you know what I mean? And that'd be funny if there was a Sylvia. And you said a third thing, and I can't remember what it was.
I forgot. Okay. Please forgive me, I forgot as well. It was the dream of a deceased that is not like themselves. Dreaming of the deceased that's just present.
All right. So if they're not like themselves, okay, they might not always come to you as you last saw them. Sometimes they come younger. They might not be themselves because it's more of a spiritual aspect of who they are, you know. Usually, like, you know how you want to look your best when you go out, okay?
Yes.
Right? Do you know what I mean? Or yes. Let's say you know you're going to run into, like, you know, you're going somewhere and there's going to be a famous movie star. Like, I'm thinking of Oprah when she had Brad Pitt on and everyone's prepping themselves and he probably doesn't even know you, but you want to look your best, okay?
Just in case.
Yeah, and that's what they want to come to you. They want to look their best. They don't want to look like they did maybe when they were, you know, sadly dying of cancer or in a car accident. They want to come to you in their best appearance, or maybe they shifted in their appearance and you're seeing them more in their spiritual light. I hope that makes sense.
That makes sense to me. I myself, my father passed when I was younger, but when I dream of him, which now that I've gotten older is not as much as when I was younger, by the way, he, for me, has always come up showing me things. He doesn't come up communicating. He does like what you said with your mom, the aura of love. So that's always felt, but he's more of my, if something within the family's going on, he's more of my, I'm going to say my messenger. Okay. And when there's nothing really going on, I don't dream with him. I don't dream with him at all. I feel him and I've seen him, but I don't dream with him. So it's very interesting how to everyone, this may appear differently.
Right. And you were talking about like the not saying anything, right?
Yes.
Well, if my cats are going to pass or when they come back, obviously they might meow, but I had this one cool dream where Midnight had been passed about, 10 months, you know, this is many years ago. And I got Merlin, who sadly has passed, but Merlin was a kitten. And I actually had this dream where Midnight was on a pedestal. Okay. Uh-huh. And he looked at me and he jumped off, or she jumped off, excuse me. And Merlin jumped up. Okay. So basically what Midnight was, and not in words, but basically what Midnight was saying, okay, it's time for me to get off your pedestal, off your love, you know, I've had my time with you. Now it's time for someone new, and here you go.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it was, and the feeling of love was there, and you know, and I, you know, I felt like this was Midnight's gift to me to make sure that I was okay. And when Merlin was, you know, sick and passing, you know, like a couple of days before he passed, I actually felt Midnight's presence. Okay, so. You know, so more than, like I said earlier, more than words, sometimes you don't need words in a dream, especially obviously when it comes to animals.
Yes, I love animals.
Me too.
They are truly a gift, right? They're truly a gift.
Yes, they are. And
then you've written books. Please tell us about your book, Learn the Secret Language of Dreams, what it's about, and where people can get this book.
Okay. And then I want to mention something else after that. Okay, so I actually wrote that book a while back, but in a nutshell, as I've talked about during the show, it goes over different dream categories. But what I do with it, I explain the dream category, but I like to use dreams. And then I interpret the dreams to give people an idea of how, you know, to kind of go deeper within the dream, to look at it at different angles. And the dreams I use are, you know, some clients' dreams. And I used to write for Bel Esprit magazine. It was a column in the Dream Time. So there's a lot of dreams from that. And also some of my personal dreams, because obviously I can remember my dreams better than other people, or some people don't want me to tell their dreams. So you can find that basically on all bookstores, Amazon, iBooks, Google Books, Smashwords, Kobo, because I like people to be able to go wherever they shop and not everyone can get to Amazon. And it's in paperback and ebook format. And also I have oracle cards that I made. I don't know if you're aware of them, Catherine, but they're Analyze Your Dream oracle cards. And ooh, you can actually find those on Etsy and on my website too. You know, awesome. I have a deal with that. So
awesome. Amazing. And then any last tips for those embarking on their own dream interpretation journey for self or family, friends, etc.
Right. Okay. Well, first of all, it's really important for yourself to record your dreams in some method. Okay. Like when I started, there wasn't, you know, there was like these big clunky tape recorders or, you know, a notebook and a pen. And I'm a writer, so I like the notebook and the pen, but you can use a journal. You can use one of those dream app journals, your laptop or whatever, or a recorder, or you can even video them. But you need a record, because this way you can go back to the dream. Like your two dreams, you remembered them. Some people don't, you know, a lot of times, and it happens to me, you wake up, psh, the dream's gone. Okay. You might have a feeling or an idea of the theme of what it is, but it's gone. So it's a good idea to write it down or record in some method when you wake up, so you can go back to it and maybe even say, oh, that was a precognitive dream. Oh, you know, and write down your feelings or whatever with it. And if you're in a hurry, just, you know, bullet points. I felt this way, this, you know, there was a car, there was whatever. Okay. So that's important. And again, feelings are so important, as I said earlier. Okay. Also keep in mind when you interpret a dream that it could be about your past. All right. And it doesn't necessarily be PTSD. It could be about what's going on now. It could be a solution to a problem, or it could even be, you know, a future dream. So see how it relates to you, and only use a dream app, you know, dream symbol app or book when you're stuck. Think about what it means to you, like a dog. What does a dog mean to you? Well, some people are going to be, they're scary. Okay. They're afraid of dogs. They're allergic to dogs. They love dogs. It could be their own dog. Okay. So sit down and think, what does this symbol mean to me? Okay. So that's a start.
Okay. Thank you so much, Pamela. Thank you for all of your insight. Very much appreciated. Thank you. And for those wanting to connect with Pamela, please visit her website at www.pamelacummins.com or learndreaminterpretations.com. All of Pamela's contact information will be within the podcast information. Thank you.